Okay. Lord, we just thank you so much for being our God in such times as this. We know that you're always with us. We know that you're always guiding us and leading us to what you want us to do. We know, Lord, that we don't have to worry about any of this stuff that's happening in the world, because you're the one that's got us in your hand. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us how to live like you and be obedient to your word. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for all these fine folks, these brothers and sisters of like mind that want to know and to walk like you did, Lord. We're not after anything for us other than you. Father, I ask that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit, that there's nothing left but you. Everything else has to go. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be a special night. And Father, I thank you for that. I praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the world today. I mean, everything is just going, looks like, if you looked at it in the natural, everybody would be anxious and fearful and all of that. But you've created a bunch of people that love you and understand that there's no fear in you. There's no fear in you. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight in this fellowship. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. And in Jesus' name, I command the communications to be complete and perfect tonight for everybody. Nobody's going to get knocked off. Nobody's going to have any problems. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I believe it. Everybody here believes it. And we just praise you, Father, for a perfect night with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you got somebody. Andrew's out there waiting on us in the waiting room.
And Michael, are you recording? I don't see the icon.
Yeah, I'm recording. Yeah, it's recording. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Judy.
My daughter, Angie, has been transferred to IU Medical Center in Indianapolis. They're going to do a construction surgery on her face. She said she doesn't have a nose. I don't know for sure what's going on. And she doesn't know when the surgery is going to be. But this dog licked her face, or he didn't really bite her. But somehow she's gotten some infection that's just kind of eating at her nose, or I don't know what's really all going on. But Lord, I'm asking for this miracle from you to heal her nose completely so she doesn't have to have a surgery, a facial surgery. Lord, I just want everyone to see this miracle and know that you still heal, that you're the same yesterday, today, and always. Lord, thank you. And we will give you all the praise because you're the one that's doing it. And they'll all know that you have done it. And I thank you, Lord, and I thank you for healing Angie's nose before she has surgery. I don't know when that's going to be. She doesn't know when it's going to be. They're not giving her any food.
Well, why don't we just believe that she's not going to have surgery? What do you think?
Well, that's what I want to believe, yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, let's just pray that away then. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against the spirit of infirmity that's trying to take her nose right now. We command you out of there. We command whatever it is that they say that's wrong with her nose, be healed in the name of Jesus. Yes. And we thank you, Father, that she's going to know it's you, because the natural doctors have already told her she's going to lose her nose. And Lord, we just thank you that when she gets up there, they're going to say, don't know what happened, but she's got a nose now. And she's not going to lose it. We believe it. We're not going to get anxious about it. We're not going to get fearful about it. We're just going to believe in the name of Jesus that that nose stays on Amy in Jesus' name. And Amen. It's not only going to be there, it's going to be prettier than it was before in the name of Jesus. Father, we just praise you. We praise you for your everlasting goodness to us, Lord, your grace and your mercy upon Amy in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that? Glory, Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes, Lord, I believe it and I know it in Jesus' name. Now, Jenny, you got to do the same.
I do.
Amen. All right. Praise God forevermore because we know that's what our God, don't we? Is that too big for God?
No.
He made Amy. He can replace whatever that the enemy tried to steal from her. And I know he's doing it right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord God. Glory, hallelujah.
Lazarus. Ooh,
my. Y'all ought to get up and dance. Glory to God. Because it's being done.
I was just thinking how Jesus restored Lazarus after 4 days. And they said, he stinketh. Hallelujah. He can do it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for using this to bring her. Excuse me?
Go ahead, finish.
Oh, okay.
You were praying
thank
for
you,
some...
Lord, for... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I just told you to go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, I'm fixing to say something. I'm going to say something here now. Y'all be careful. All right. Lord, I thank you for using this to bring Amy close to you.
Angie, yes.
Real close to you.
Amen.
Father, and in a way that it will affect everybody in her family.
Amen.
And those people around her, her sisters and all of those things. All the people that she's around, Lord, that she'll be praising God for doing what he did for her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, Gayden Holt. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I interrupted. I just got excited and was thinking of Lazarus and how the Lord delivered him, and he stunk. He was decomposed when he restored him
Amen.
Like that.
Brought him back to life, and he was shuffling out there like a China woman. Want somebody to pull that stuff off of him, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Michael, it's Angie.
Okay, Angie, Amy, I don't know.
But Amy will also be.
Okay, Angie, I'm sorry. I mean,
that's
you
okay.
said Angie or Amy?
It's Angie.
Well, Lord knows. Yeah.
Yes.
Praise God forevermore.
Okay, and here's Gano.
Okay.
Here's
Sure. We prayed for this family one day, let's see, probably last week for PK and her grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to, she doesn't yet have a different place to live, but I just want to thank the Lord for a bigger place for them to live so that they would have a little bit more room. Tracy said, well, maybe not too much more room because that way, this way she can have her eye on all of them at one time. Father, I just thank you for what you're going to work in these five children. Pray, Father, that they would feel your love, your compassion for them, that you will heal their hearts. And I just pray that you give PK the wisdom and your love for them through her, that you will calm her anxiety. And I thank you, Father, for what you already have done. We know that your provision is on the way. And I was just going to give their names this time. I didn't know them the last time. The mother's name is Brittany, and she's now in a halfway house. She's recovering from drugs of some kind. I'm not sure. She had been in prison for a while. The dad is on the run. His name is Andrew. The oldest son is Alexander. He's 13. Ashley is 11. This is the only girl of the four boys. And I guess She stays in her room all the time. She doesn't really want to come out unless they kind of make her come out. Otherwise, she stays on her computer. Andrew is 9, and he was the one that they were having kind of an issue with the other night when Tracy texted me. He was having quite a bad fit, and he was wanting to just run away, and said he wanted to go to the beach and drink beer. He's 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little brother that's 5 or 6, and then a little one that's 3 or 4, somewhere in there. And the younger one is not potty trained yet, so she also has lots of washing to do because he's not trained yet.
So are 6 kids?
No, there's 5.
Oh, 5. Yeah, I say. Andrew is the husband.
Yeah, the one child, the 9-year-old, has the same name as his dad.
Yeah.
But she said the two youngest ones have sort of like mongoloid appearances, but she was told that was probably because they were under the influence of drugs while the mom was carrying them, and when they were born, and they had to go through that, you know,
like a detox
after they were born, and how really hard that is on them. But they've just had a really difficult life. They've been in and out of just a number of homes that have not been good situations. I know that the oldest one was in a home where the couple that were taking care of him, their own children were biting him, and he had bites all over his back, and then he got attacked by a dog, and so his face got kind of messed up, and so it's just a whole bunch of stuff. And all these things we know open them up to demons, and they're just, they want to fight and kick and punch, and that's what they want to do. And they just don't want to listen. They just yell and holler all the time. And it's really a trial for PK to take care of them. And she's trying to do this by herself. So when she is in need of help, she summons Tracy. So just thank you, Tracy, for coming to her rescue. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Tracy wisdom and to know what to say, what to do, how to speak to them. I know she's trying to share the Lord with them, and it's just been really difficult. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to work in this family, the provisions you have for them, that they can feel your love.
Yes, Lord.
Because they're having a hard time being able to find it right now. And I'd also like to have a prayer for myself. Thank the Lord for helping me to keep my emotions in the back seat instead of in the driver's seat, because I'm going to have to go to Nebraska fairly soon. And I just am believing that He's going to help me to prioritize things and what I need to do in the order I need to do it, and get it accomplished, and to help me to drive there, because my daughter won't be, she's going to be driving up there, but not with me. We'll each have our own vehicle. So thank you, Father, for your provision. Mm-hmm. Thank you for, it's all about your ability and not about mine or anyone else's. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus.
Yes, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise
amen.
You, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you, because this is an opportunity. I see a good opportunity for you, Lord.
Amen.
And I thank you, Father, that you're going to give Tracy the wisdom to talk with PK. Because I remember the story of this teacher that had a room, classroom full of rebellious kids. I mean, just completely out of control. And she went to praying, or I forget whether it was a woman or a man, but I do remember the story. And they went to praying every morning before the class started, before the kids got in there. She'd get on her knees and talk to you, Lord, and she'd command those devils out of there, and she'd command them not, that they didn't have any permission to come in her room. And it just happened almost automatically that the children came in there, sat down, and were quiet the whole time, and they listened, and they did everything they were supposed to do. And the people in the school were amazed at what happened. And it was all because of you, Lord. And I'm asking you to show PK how she can do the same thing. That she can come against those spirits on those children and declare them out of there.
Yes,
and she can have peace and quiet with those children and have Bible times with them, share the gospel with them. And Father, I praise you for doing it. Lord, and right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind up those spirits of rebellion in those children.
Amen.
I know they've been hurt all their life. And Lord, I ask and I praise, Lord, just supernaturally, that you take that hurt and that anger and that bitterness out of their hearts in the name of Jesus. And those two young ones, that they're saying that they're among the Lord, I command that spirit off of them too in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I command a spirit of joy and love and peace in both of those children in Jesus' name. And I command the facial features to be normal in Jesus' name. And Lord, I praise you for what you're going to do in this family, what you've already done. You did it 2,000 years ago. And all we have to do is believe with PK. And Father, I thank you that every one of those children are going to come next to you and they're going to see your love, Lord.
Amen.
They didn't see any love from their mom and their dad, but they're going to see love from their true father. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for all this, all these five kids, Lord.
Yes.
They're your children, Lord. And I'm asking you to take a hold of them, Lord, and teach them about your son, Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make an intercessor out of PK. You're going to make a warrior, a prayer warrior out of PK. And I thank you for it. Not only that, it's going to be Tracy too. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for a supernatural turnaround for PK and his children in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Just go right ahead.
Thank you.
Well, I believe it's done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Lord,
for all of these children. They've never known your love, Lord.
They've
never known it. Now let them see it through PK and Tracy. Specifically through PK.
Thank you.
We command fear off of her. We command anxiousness off of her. We command frustration to go from her in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that the anxiety's got to go too. And we just praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to put peace in her heart, joy in her heart, that nothing bothers her, that she has patience, joy, happiness, all of those attributes of you, Lord, are shining through PK in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
You.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe it. How about y'all?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to see some miracles out this bunch. My gracious sakes alive.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you.
Praise you.
One of our friends. No, I always
think. About you going to?
Yeah, I did.
You did pray? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, sorry.
All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy. Melissa.
Today my mom gave me a call and she was asking me about Zoom. She had Zoom on her laptop, and long story short, we got on. I got to see my mom and dad. You were just talking, and she said that she didn't go into details as to why she said that or who told her this or why she thinks this or whatever, but she said that she wanted to get set up with Zoom because of, she said, it looks like that they're going to be in this situation with being locked down in that the retirement community until most of the summer, I think is what she said. And I was asking her today, she said there's the cottages and then there's apartments that are just like retirement. There's no assistance there. And then there's an area that's like assisted living. They have their own little room and they go to the cafeteria and everything. And then there's the nursing home. But anyway, and they're really, I mean, Mom said that since the lockdown, they haven't gone out for a drive. I mean, like just for a drive to get out, but once. And I said, well, you need to do that more often. And she said, yeah, but they're allowed to go to the grocery store and to the doctor and the pharmacy and stuff like that. And I think Mom said that they had ordered food, but they had it delivered to this post there, and then they take it to them to the cottage. But it was before that, you know, my sister could drop stuff off directly at their door, but now she has to drop it off at this spot, and they'll take it to my mom and dad then. And it's just ridiculous. It's just insanity, you know. And it's easy for me to say because I know I have to have my faith unto myself, you know, not put anybody under law, make anybody feel bad that they don't have the faith that I have. So it's very, you know, I want to speak my faith, but at the same time, my mom knows how I believe, you know, and I, you know, say little stuff here and there, but so, you know, and I kind of had my little rant about it after Merle had to listen to me. He kind of, you know, he's like, I said, don't you think that's ridiculous? You know, you can't go see your parents. They can't see you. You know, you can't give them a hug, you know, or anything like that. And I said, they need that. I mean, it's like I said, I can see if, you know, somebody's actually sick, not being allowed to do that, you know. I said, but anyway, so, and then the Lord says to me, then he just, I had to repent then, but he, before I actually repented, he started getting my attention saying, Missy, I'm using this, you know, he's using this with a lot of people that, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, I had to repent for my rant, you know, and he's using it for people to realize that the only way out of this, the only surefire way out of this, not get sick and out of this, is God. Nothing you do is going to protect you. Nothing. Or anybody else does is going to protect you, but your faith in him. You know, so I'm just believing that at some point my parents are going to say, okay, enough is enough. I want to see my kids. I want to hug my kids. I want to hug my grandkids. I want to hug my great-grandchild when my great-grandchild comes in August, you know. I want to hold my great-grandchild, so. So anyway, Father, I thank you, Lord, for straightening my head out on that. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're using this, Lord, with everybody. You're drawing your people to you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show my parents, Lord, that this is no way to live in fear and anxiety. You know, my mom doesn't, you know, she doesn't really seem to be fearful or anxious about the situation. But I know after a while, I mean, in a outwardly, it's not fear, but If you trust a man, it's fear, as far as I'm concerned. So, Lord, I just thank you for delivering them from fear and from their own works and trusting wholeheartedly in you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for doing that for all your elect. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Okay, so you prayed for my leg and a bunch of other stuff. My leg, I've been fighting with that for like 2 years, and since we met Thursday, it has not made any pus, and it's actually finally clearing and healing like really, really fast. So that's really, really nice.
Thank you, Lord. I had no doubt.
And whatever curses or jealousy was happening from my neighbors, they seem to be more pleasant lately. And I also was praying that, you know, hey, maybe I'll actually be able to make friends with them now. And I got accidentally blessed by a neighbor around the corner. I had kind of pulled over and yelled out my car window at some people, hey, if I brought a steak over, would you throw it on the grill for me? And they were like, where are you from? I'm like, well, I live in that apartment building. We're not allowed to grill out. They're like, sure. I said, well, I'm running to the store. Do you want anything? They wouldn't let me buy them anything. But then I basically made friends with a neighbor that's a block away from my building. I was thinking someone in the building, but I'll take a block away from the building. So now I have some friends, finally.
Awesome. How come we can't see you?
Because I've got a big pile of stuff here I don't want you to look at.
Okay. All right.
Well, I've been sick, so I got baskets of junk sitting there. So that's I just didn't want you to see that.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. That's a good one. Thank you, Tanya.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, Dave, how you doing?
I'm good when I get out of bed after I take a nap.
It happens sometimes to elderly people.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding you, buddy. You're a young man.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I did hear from the Lord the other day about the freedom thing, about he said, yeah, I'd start praying for our freedom to be released. So, and I think it also means also maybe praying for the church that they'd be released under the bondage they're under with Satan. So we're praying not just for the country be released from this lockdown, but also for the freedom of the of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are locked in with the religious groups. So, just to let you know, because I heard Missy talking about it here a minute ago, so I wanted to hear from the Lord about it first.
Lord, we just thank you for setting your church free, your chosen ones, Lord. We ask that you separate them from it, but in Jesus' name, we know what's going to happen. We know that at some point in time, they're going to get a revelation. Hey, I'm not seeing anything here. I got to go find the Lord and get in the Word. And Lord, we thank you for doing that for all of your chosen. That you're going to bring supernatural knowledge to them. And I know that you're going to give them the wherewithal to do it too. You're going to shake them until they'll want to run after you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Yeah, Tanya.
I had always, my dad said he was safe, but I didn't see any fruit. And just recently, with everything going on, he had some men over to do this, just to study the Bible together, no real agenda. And they were supposed to be there for an hour, and at 4 hours, they weren't ready to go home. And now they plan on meeting on a regular basis. And all of them have been believers for a long time. And when my mom kind of told me a little bit about what they're talking about, it's like they're all finally shedding their diapers and bottles from attending a building and thinking that's all they had to do. So now when they're reading the Bible together without a pastor or minister, their eyes are becoming opened, including my dad's, which I already see a huge difference in him. When I went to visit, he actually was talking to me like I was an adult instead of talking down to me like a child. So that was a huge difference. And he actually, like, you know, talked. I don't know how else you put it. You know, there's one thing where you just say the minimum to someone, and then there's when you, like, actually talk to them. And I accidentally interrupted him several times because I'm not used to him talking. Usually it's just me and my mom talk, and he just sits there. So that was really nice. I feel like I'm finally getting to know my dad. So,
I know. God.
So I feel like that's the church is actually starting to gather, to grow past the building that, in my opinion, was always just like outreach, like where new people knew where they could go and hear some word of God. I feel like the real believers meet privately to grow more. So I'm really happy that my dad did that.
Amen. Yep, they get in that Bible, they'll find out some truths. They'll do it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Did you have something, Leon? You unmuted there for a second. No? Okay, Missy.
Tanya, I'm curious, where is it you live?
I'm in Wisconsin, and it's called the Fox Valley, so there's a bunch of string of towns that you can't really tell that they separate. So it's all north of Milwaukee, which is the big outbreak in Wisconsin. So, like, my parents, they had a group that was overseas, so they had 13 die from corona. Where, like, my county has 3, and I think Appleton has had, like, Outagamie has had, like, 5 die from the whole county. But one of my friends up in Appleton said her husband had a heart attack and died, and they tested him for corona after he died, and it was in his nose. So they put corona or COVID-19 down as his on his death certificate. Even though he had a heart attack, he never had pneumonia.
I've done a lot like that.
So, I mean, there isn't much except for the very heart of the biggest city we have that's over 1 million. There really isn't hardly anyone sick. And my kids live in Iowa, and they never closed the state. Right now we're trying to, there's been a lot of protesting because the only people that are actually being suppressed right now is the small businesses, which is our main middle class, like barbers, because they don't have any employees. And pretty much like our thrift stores, and they like, they're all nonprofit. They're still closed. No one can even donate. Otherwise, right now we're allowed up to 10. So everybody's going and hugging their grandkids and spending time with their friends and family because that's less than 10 people now. So the only thing that's really being stifled is your mega churches if they're not meeting in small groups and small businesses, which is our middle class. So Wisconsin. Yes.
They're not requiring you to social distance?
In public. So, like, if you go in Walmart or whatever, there's tape on the floor. You got to stand 6 feet back to be able to go to the checkout. Mm-hmm. but you're supposed to be 6 feet apart in someone's house, but we all know who's sick and who isn't. I'm going to hug my mom. Neither of us are sick.
Good for you.
And I already have plans because I was sick back in January and was in the hospital where they almost killed me and had to send me home because they had nothing else they could do. I ended up, had to self-quarantine for 6 weeks. So I found a service that would deliver food I was willing to eat because it delivered the whole potatoes, the whole onions, the whole celery, the meat. And I had to, cook it myself, not one of these, already cooked dinners. So that's just the background. Sorry, probably giving too much information. So I ordered one of the dinners to be scallop linguine with a premium cost on it. So I'm be making that for my mom for Mother's Day. She's having me come cook it at her house. I don't know why I wanted to share that, just that I'm cooking for her for Mother's Day. So I'm excited. Awesome. They deliver on the 7th.
No, that's I like you, Sharon. I mean, it helps us get to know you a little bit since you're the newbie on here. So thanks for sharing. It was good. Thanks.
Bless you. A lot of people like around here, they keep asking me what church I go to because they're like, how did you learn that? How do you know that? Even my Facebook friends, and they're like, what church do you go to? I'm like, I don't learn from a church. I have to study the word myself because pretty much every time I get invited to a church, I end up arguing with the minister because I don't have to use any English. I just quote scripture and he argues with me. And I say, well, then I'm either asked not to come back or I say, well, I can't come back if you can't follow the word. So I don't have a church. I mean, the last one was trying to prove to me, he did a sermon and he made it clear that it was directed towards me that we're not called to be perfect. And he was trying to prove it with scripture. And I couldn't say anything because it was a YouTube, but I was, or a Facebook, but I did put a few scriptures in the scroll part on the right-hand side. And I'm like, well, because he just grabbed a verse from here and a verse from there. I'm like, well, that first verse, that's before you're saved. We are all imperfect and doomed to hell. That's the before you accept Jesus Christ. I just don't like when they take it out of context and then try to use it. So I ended up doing a post on Facebook that's gotten a lot of likes, and I don't usually get any. I don't do it for the likes. But I just wanted my one friend who invited me to her church to understand why he kept stuttering when he would be like, well, we're not called to be perfect. Well, yeah, we are, but, he just constantly kept stuttering and correcting himself. It was really sad. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't worry about those people. If God has gotten them chosen, at some point in time, they'll come to this knowledge. I don't argue with them. I just go on. I used to argue with them, but I found out it didn't make me a bit of good. Yeah. Stick to the word. Yep. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Oh. I got a testimony, a praise report. I was out walking over the park 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago. And there's the last hill that I have to climb before I hit the downhill slide toward the truck. It's real tough. I'm telling you, it's tough. It makes you breathe hard and you'd be looking for oxygen when you get halfway up there, that kind of hill, And when I got up about halfway up there, there was this woman up there, and she was doing she was a huffing and a puffing, And I said, well, this is a good stopping point. She said, yeah, it's a good one. And we got to talking, she asked me, she said, well, what do you think about this coronavirus? I said, well, I don't think a whole lot about it. I said, because I'm a Christian, it doesn't bother me. God, you know, it can't. She said, amen. And she she said, well, what do you think's going to happen after this? I said, are you a Christian? She said, yeah. I said, are you a believer? She said, yeah. I said, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? She said, yeah. Her eyes got big. I said, do you speak in tongues? She said, yeah, I sure do. I said, well, praise God. All right, then I can answer your question. And we started talking, and we talked for right there at that spot where people were going all around us. You know, it was busy that day because it was the second day that people had been turned loose to go out to the park. And we talked for quite some time. She kept asking me questions. Well, what's this going to, who's the man child? Da 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 da. What this? What's this? You know? And I said, well, and I went through all of that, and I said, come on, let's get on up this hill. So we got up the hill and we started walking. She kept asking me more questions. And by the time I got back toward the truck, I said, come over here. I said, I'm going to give you a book. She said, oh, really? I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to give you one. It's called Sovereign God. I said, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll change the way you look at the Bible when you get through reading it. And I told her, I said, it's got a lot of scripture in it, lots of scripture in it to back itself up. And I said, you're really going to enjoy it. I said, if it's something that you don't understand, put it on the shelf. Read it again and again and again until it gets in your spirit. And she said, amen, I will. And we parted ways that way. And it was such a wonderful experience for me also, you know, to be able to talk like without talking to a Baptist or a Church of Christ or somebody like that, you know. She was all fired up, man. And she had quit going to a Pentecostal church because they weren't she had been reading her Bible like God told us to do, and she'd found some things in there that was wrong, and she just didn't know what to do, you know. And we just walked along and talked about it. It was an awesome meeting. Thank you, Lord, for Debbie. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work in her, and people around her are going to just marvel at the knowledge that she has of you, and they're going to ask where she got that knowledge, and she's going to point them right to you, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Debbie and all the friends around her and her family members in Jesus' name. Okay. Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Oh, I got another testimony. Theo and Lana came over to the house, spent the night with us last night. We just had a wonderful time yesterday. I did. I got to drive that boy around, his oldest boy, Theo the third, around on the tractor with Fedor in the back. And we just had a good time. It was a wonderful experience. Them two boys are something else, you know. I was having a good time with them.
Amen.
Yeah, there he is. They're headed back home now. They're almost home. They should be shortly. Back in misery. Just saying. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Let's see here. God's vaccine. Get back on that. I got the right page. I think I do. I think we're starting chapter 5, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Chapter 5, How to War Against Fear. I'm going to go ahead and say the prayer too. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. And thank you that, as Jeremiah chapter 3 says, we can call you my Father. Lord, we thank you so much for that relationship. We thank you so much for your kindness. We thank you so much that we don't live under the old covenant. Yes, Lord. Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit to empower us to be what we can never be otherwise. Thank you that now it's not us, but Christ in us who does the work. Lord, you've asked us just to repent and believe, and we thank you that you even grant us the grace to repent and the faith to believe. Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for doing this work in us. And thank you for getting us ready for the plagues that are about to come upon the world. Lord, just like in the days of Egypt when you preserved your people in Goshen, thank you, Lord, for your grace to rise up in us, to bring to our remembrance everything that you have said to us to defend us against these judgments coming upon the world. And thank you for our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Thank you and help us to eat all of the lamb so that we have a Passover of the judgments of the curse of this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, God is preparing us to be immune to the judgments of this world by filling us with his promises and renewing our minds with his word, Romans 12 and 2. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise be to God. Well, we've been looking at Psalms 91 because there's a pretty good vaccination there. And I'd like to back up a few verses in 91 and 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness. David says, some things you can't see, but you know they're dangerous. You may see the signs of them around you. And of course, the devil takes full advantage of that by coming against your mind. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. So we're not to fear the dangers that we can see with our eyeballs, okay? Some of our biggest problems are the things that we see. But of course, we also worry about the things we can't see. If you see somebody around you start sneezing or coughing, the first thing the devil throws at you is, uh-oh, now you're going to catch it too. Folks, what people die of is fear of the curse from which Jesus has delivered us in Exodus 12 and Galatians 3 and 13. We have a Passover lamb that we've eaten. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Our lamb, Jesus Christ, has already been sacrificed. The Bible says in Psalms 103 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Listen to this next verse, y'all. This is real good. We don't die of diseases, of plagues, of curses. No, we die of unbelief and fear. When I first heard that, I said, my goodness, that is so true. That was a revelation to me. We do not die of diseases or plagues or curses. We die of unbelief and fear. Okay, has anybody got any comments or questions? Yeah, Missy.
Well, that was basically the whole crux of what the Lord was showing me, you know, with the whole situation with my parents, you know, and, you know, if it weren't for our prayers, you know, of the Lord protecting them, you know, our family and stuff from all this. You know, they wouldn't survive it, you know. It's the Lord's mercy and the answer in our prayers for them, you know, preserving them and keeping them until they can have faith for themselves. We're having faith for them right now. So thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And, well,
isn't it in Hosea? It says, my people die for lack of knowledge. They won't get in the Word to find out what it does mean.
Yeah. That's my biggest struggle now, is not fear for myself or really, I don't really have fear for others per se. It's just seeing it all, you know. It's like the Lord reminded me earlier. It's just like, you know, been talking about all these things for a long time, and here they are. now you're challenged to exercise faith, no matter what you see, you know, and not be bothered by it, you know. So Lord, I thank you, Lord, for strengthening us all to go through this. We're in it with everybody, you know, and have to go through the consequences for the time being of what's going on. But Lord, I believe that we're going to be released from the limitations, Lord. Probably before everybody else, because Lord, when you pour out that your spirit, that's these physical limitations are going to be overcome by your spirit, Lord. And there's we're not going to have any limitations, even physically, Lord, because you're going to do things, Lord, that none of this physical stuff will have an effect on us. And I praise you and thank you, Lord. Amen.
In Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. That's all we got to remember. That says Matthew 13:58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Yep, that's true. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? The devil takes us out many times with the warfare against our mind, and we lose our faith. Then we die because of fear, which is faith in the curse. We need to be, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Jesus told us in Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs in the sun and moon and stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, in perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the billows. You can see the roaring of the sea and the billows as being the anger of the nations against one another, because the Bible tells us that the waters represent peoples, nations, and tongues in Revelation 17:15. Obviously, the things that nations are exporting around the world, such as terrorism and anarchy and on, are making a lot of people fearful. Luke 21:26, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things which are coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And the King James translation says, men's hearts failing them for fear. But the numeric pattern and the Greek both show that fainting is a much better interpretation. Men fainting for fear and for expectation. What's this expectation? It's a believing in the curse. It's believing these things are all a threat to you and seeing in your imagination all the terrible things that could happen to you because of them. And that's why we're told to cast down imaginations. The devil prepares us to fail through our imaginations. Again, people aren't dying because of the curse. Lord took care of that. They're dying because of unbelief and fear, which looses the curse. Faith in the promises binds the curse, praise God, forevermore. And that's where we have to get that faith in our spirit out of here down to here, where we just trust and believe God for everything. It doesn't make any difference if people are dying all around you. You know you're protected by God's grace. And we're walking in a bubble. You might just call it a bubble. That's because that's what we're doing. We're walking in a bubble because we believe. We're walking in faith. That's the bubble. All right, anybody got any comments on that last paragraph? Well, we're getting some meat here now. Okay. In every instance where you're put into a position of being threatened, remember that the devil and his army, his angels, see in both the spirit realm and in the physical realm. They coordinate their attacks on you to coincide with the things that you see with your eyes or the things you hear with your ears, or especially the imaginations in your mind about the things that could happen. And they will pounce on you so that you are struck suddenly with this temptation to fear. You know, we think in pictures, and the devil will take you over with these pictures. He'll put fear in you exactly as this verse is talking about here. And you need to stop immediately and make war on him when he attacks you with these things, or he'll just take you away. And then you'll be at the mercy of the judgments that are all around you. We've seen from scriptures very plainly that Jesus bore the whole curse upon himself when he was upon the cross. Galatians 3 and 13. We've also seen in Romans 10, 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you need to confess Psalm 91 in the midst of the trouble. Not while you're in church, in the midst of the trouble. When there's an opportunity for you to give the devil authority to take you away, the gospel is the power of God to save the one who believes it. Romans 1:16. In the midst of the trouble, you make your confession, because faith without works is dead, James 2:17 said. Whenever your actions are totally contrary to faith, the devil takes that as his authority. Jesus told us in Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these precious promises you've given us. All right, anybody got any questions or any comments? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, often enough when I feel the fear coming over me, sometimes I just remember that scripture that says, be not afraid of sudden fear. And on occasions, you know, like if I'm going on a bus ride, because I have to go to work once, not this Friday, but the Friday before, you know, you get the bus gets a little bit packed, you know, they block off the front of the door. You don't even enter on the front door anymore around here. You get on the back door because the bus driver doesn't want you near them. And, you know, if I feel any fear suddenly come upon me, I don't speak in tongues aloud, but just under my breath, I'll speak in tongues throughout the whole bus ride, or, you know, it calms you down actually when for me anyway. And, that's just two ways I deal with fears. You know, I was a person that never really feared when I was younger, because I used to work out in the gym a lot, and I'm very tall, and people don't usually approach me. They fear me because of their height. And but when you get to be an older person and you don't have that strength you used to have, you know, you have to not show fear in front of just the people around you, because, you know, they're they're lost people, and you have to think of them that way, as they're lost. They don't have the eternity that you have. And it's good when God puts these things in your head, when this fear comes of other people or anything. Just saying that.
Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
I would just share that, like, today there was I had a meeting at work. It was a Zoom meeting, and it was kind of like an informative meeting, you know, an update of what's going on with the heads of our company were discussing and different things. And some of it was not as optimistic as what it was like a month ago. And, you know, cause they're looking at the economy and they've got all these experts. So anyhow, they're discussing some things, and some of the things they were saying were not real positive. And I tell you what, those, you know, fear demons tried to come on me. It was like in the room. I could feel it in the room. I know it wasn't me, and I had to cast it down. But it was just the whole thing, exactly like David says. It's those thoughts, the things that are going on in the natural, what you hear, what you see, that's just an open door for the enemy to try to come in there and gain entrance and rule in your mind. So I take real authority over that. But I knew it wasn't me. I knew where it was coming from, but it's just a testimony to how true that was. And I just, you know, I face that every time I get in a room with a bunch of people I work with now and hearing the negative stuff, and I'm limited in what I can share with them, but it's like I hear so much of it all the time, and it's just, I can feel their tension. I can feel the stress that they try to, what comes out of their mouths, you know. Hope I'm making sense. I can just feel it. It's very real.
Okay, we got a request from Jeff to pray for Sandy. She's in a coughing fit right now, turning purple. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of coughing off of her. We command that throat to open up. We command the lungs to fill up in the name of Jesus. We command the coughing to cease right now in Jesus' name. And if whatever's causing it, we command you to go from her in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that she is settled down in Jesus' name. We command peace in that body of Sandy's in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We praise you, Father, that she is healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Okay, that's a done deal. Y'all believe it?
Amen. Amen. We just cast down all witchcraft and assignments against Sandy in Jesus' name. We cast you down. We break your power off of Sandy, and we command everything that's being sent her way back tenfold back to where it's coming from in Jesus' name. And we command this to be done immediately in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's done. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Got any comments or questions? So the devil is going to make war on the saints with the judgments that are coming upon the world. And most people don't know that those judgments are coming upon the world, not to hurt the saints, but to deliver the saints. Because these judgments are going to separate the wheat from the tares. It's coming. Get ready with your faith. Build your faith up. David says, I want to share with you a revelation from Dmitri Dudeman that fits exactly what we're talking about here. This vision was given to Dmitri in May of 1993 when he was living in Oregon. It describes our rights in Christ and how the blood is applied through casting down fear and doubt and speaking the promise, which is, of course, our sword of the Spirit. He said, it was getting dark, and then suddenly it turned pitch black. David says, it's interesting that we can look around us right now and see that it's starting to get dark. People are mentioning to me that they're seeing many things that they've never seen before. They're seeing Christians, lukewarm Christians, turn toward darkness and governments that have been taken over by the beast. It was as, and back to Deuteronomy, I think, it was as if the whole world had gone dark at that moment. David says, I think we're on the verge of that darkness coming, folks. It will be great tribulation, and we need to be ready for it. We need to not waste our time. We need to have our armor on. And back to the vision. All the people were in a frenzy. They became disoriented, and some were even screaming. David says, that sounds exactly like the verse we just read in Luke 21. And back to the vision. After some time, we heard the sound of an army approaching. Ooh, excuse me. This is talking about the devil's army. Multitudes of demon spirits that make war on the saints and also inhabit men who physically make war on the saints. We call that the beast. Soon we saw them coming out of the black mist. All were dressed in black except for one. That one seemed to be their leader. He was dressed in a red robe with a thick black belt over his waist. And on his head he had a sign. As I looked, I saw that in his hand he held the same kind of sharp spear as everyone else in his army. I am Lucifer, he exclaimed. I am the king of this world. I've come to make war against the Christians. David says, this war is about to start, folks. The darkness is coming to the earth, and this war is about to start. It looked as though all the Christians were huddled together in one big group. Some began to cry when they heard this. Others began to tremble, while some just stood without saying anything. And David says, what is this that's already happening to God's people in this revelation? It's Satan's warfare against them. They're crying, they're trembling, they're fearful because of the threat they can see. What's the devil's army? It's those spirits that attack your mind. Spirits such as fear and doubt and grief and condemnation and lust and hatred and unforgiveness and rejection and addictions of different kinds and occultic things and thefts and lying and on and on and on. Everybody has trials with these spirits, making war against them as the spirits seek to bring them into their realm. Praise the Lord that we've been delivered of this by Jesus Christ. All the promises that are given to us in the Word of God are what we can use as our sword to set each other free. Amen and amen. Anybody got any comments on that? I will tell you this. Before I came here, I had a vision of the world, of the whole world, and there was darkness, but there was just a little bit of light in it, not that much. And then after I came here, after a few years, maybe a couple of years being here, I saw that same vision again of the world, and it was about half the light that it was before when I saw it the first time. And then since then, oh, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I saw it again, and it was almost closed. The darkness was almost closed. So we're almost at this darkness stage. And y'all can see it. I mean, it's pretty obvious. If you just read the news a little bit, you know that things aren't right out there, that these people are going nutso out there. So this is actually coming to pass as we speak. All right, anybody got any comments or question? Okay. Well, when they saw Satan's army coming in great force, many people trembled and were fearful. But some didn't do anything because they weren't moved by what they saw. That's us, isn't it? That is us. Let's see. Oh, okay. That's Phil and Lana. They've gotten home. All right. Praise God. There was no problems. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let me start that over again. Well, when they saw Satan's army coming in great force, many people trembled and were fearful, but some didn't do anything because they weren't moved by what they saw. Then back to the vision, I guess. Lucifer continued to speak. All of those that want to fight against my army and think they can be victorious go to the right. Obviously, that's where the sheep go. They go to the right. And if you're not convinced that you can be victorious against Satan's army, it's because you don't have enough of the Word of God in your mind to really do warfare with him. We have to have on that helmet of salvation in Ephesians 6. We have to have the knowledge of the fact that we are protected, we are delivered, and it's finished. Jesus has overcome the world, and the only thing left is for us to enter into those works that were finished from the foundation of the world in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. How do we do that? We enter into those works by faith. Everything that Jesus did, the body of Christ is going to do, John 14 and 12. He had victory. He knew he could conquer Satan. And Satan trembled before him because Jesus knew who he was. He was the Son of God. And he is the only begotten Son of God in whom we too are sons. Jesus said in John 20, 21, peace be unto you as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. If you know who you are and you know what God says about you, the devil trembles before you. But he can convince a lot of people who justify themselves and are not really believers of the Word of God. How many of you want the devil to tremble before you? Amen, I do. And he is too. Bless God, all of us. He trembles before all of us. Because we all got great and bold faith to believe what the Word says. And we can exercise that faith by spewing it out of our mouth. Glory to God. All right, anybody got any comments on this? How's Sandy, Jeff? She okay?
Fine. I heard y'all praying. I turned up the speaker and I heard y'all in there and I was praying right along with y'all. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, she's okay.
She's better now.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. The devil's on the run. Glory to God. He's on the run from this bunch. He's scared of this bunch. He trembles when we get on the air. I believe that. I don't know about y'all, but I believe it. Glory to God, he does. He trembles. He said, oh, my goodness, here comes that bunch again. They're going to be against us. Man, we got to get out of here. That's what he done. That devil's gone. He said, they got an open heaven to the Lord, the Father. He said, we can't mess with this bunch. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I read somewhere about some people over there in Africa from Nigeria. They get into prayer and warfare. They use their hands and their feet. They have a shofar that they blow. They shout at this devil. And they really get into their prayer meeting and really act it out, you know, sometimes even. You know, the children are acting out this prayer warrior kind of prayer. You know, like
a
sword in their hand or something. You know? And it's just really neat the way they do it.
Amen. I bring that shofar out occasionally. Tear down a game. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Okay, let's go on and find out what we're going here. Look, the Lord is just telling us to get ready for what's coming. He's getting us all prepared for this, and it's fun to watch that devil get on the run when we come together. All right, so the devil said, all of those that want to fight against my army and think they can be victorious. Did I read that? I just read that, didn't I? No, I didn't read that.
He's just repeating himself. You know how he is.
Okay, yeah. All right. All of those that want to fight against my army and think they can be victorious, go to the right. And those that fear me, go to the left. Why does God permit this war? He's permitting this war to separate the sheep from the goats. In these end times, the Lord says that he's going to spew the lukewarm out of his mouth, Revelation 3 and 16. He's not going to have any fence riders. You're going to be in either one camp or the other. This warfare of the devil against the church is going to bring the separation. Notice what he says next. Only about a quarter of the group stepped to the right when he asked if you think you're going to be victorious over the devil. You remember that? That means three quarters of what were called Christians in this revelation were no threat to the devil, and he was going to conquer them all. All the others went to the left. That was three quarters of them who went to the left because of fear. Those of them who thought, those of them who thought they would be victorious over Satan were only a quarter of the Christians. And I don't think that is really a stretch at all. Even today, there are very few people that are actually chasing Satan, and the rest are all being chased by him, which is exactly what the Bible tells us. Luke 11 and 21. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him his old armor, wherein he trusted, and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. Amen. Parable of the sower. Yep, that's right, Andrew. One out of four makes it. We know we're victorious. Praise God. We've seen God in action. Then Lucifer ordered his army, destroy those on the right. Yeah, okay. The army began to advance and quickly surround the Christians on the right. And remember, that's the smaller group, the one quarter. And as they began to close in on us, a powerful light appeared. Come on now. And encircled us. Then the angel of the Lord spoke, take out your swords and fight. Defend yourselves. Be victorious over the enemy. What swords? A man in the group said. The word of the Lord is your sword, the angel answered. Yes, take out your sword and fight and be victorious over the enemy. The devil can do nothing against it. There's no weapon that he can use to defend against your sword, which is the word of God. It is the true word of God. It cannot be denied. It will fulfill the purpose that God sent it for in Luke 1:37. But we have to use it. You can give in to the temptations of fear and doubt that the devil fires at you in the midst of the fire trial, or you can fight. Be sure to confess your sins, 1 John 3:21, so that the devil can't use condemnation against you, because then you can swing your sword with bold faith and you'll win. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Now the word translated as discipline comes from the Greek sophron, meaning of sound mind, self-controlled, and balanced. Any fear that comes against you is from the devil. It's not from God. Jesus told us that we should fear only God, Matthew 10:28. The fear of the Lord is good, because every child should fear that their father will spank them if they're going in the wrong direction. In that way, we should always fear God, but the Lord isn't going to lead you by fear all the time. And if you feel that way, you're probably being moved by the devil. Scripture tells us in Romans 8 and 15, for you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Praise God forevermore. That's the truth. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to say? Comment.
Okay. We'd like some prayer for Judy.
Yeah.
Okay.
She just had a phone call from her son, and it's kind of troubling for her.
I think what happened could have happened, and you'll have to correct me if I think she was talking to Doug about what was going on with Angie.
Yeah.
And I don't think he received whatever she was.
No, he was telling me exactly what happened. It's a lot worse than what I even thought. They're going to have, it's really worse. She could have died. And I don't know, it's just worse. And then he said he was going to come down here because he's still mad because I didn't go check myself out.
Well, we come against those controlling spirits right now. They're trying to control Judy through Doug. We break the power of them over her in the name of Jesus. She's under the blood of Jesus. She's redeemed from the curse. Those demons have no right to attack her. We come against that attack, and we tell those demons to go from her mind, to cast those thoughts down, go from her mind in Jesus' name, because she's set free. She doesn't have to listen to the lies of the enemy or the threats of the enemy in Jesus' name. No fear is allowed in Jesus' name.
No.
No fear. And Lord, we thank you, Father, you're going to stop. You're going to stop the enemy from trying to do anything through Doug.
Yes.
That you're going to make a way, Father, that Doug is not going to be able to come down and cause trouble. And then any other kind of plans the enemy wanted to use them against Judy or even Angie will not come to pass in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I bind up that demon that controls Doug, and I command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stand down and cease your action against Judy right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, I thank you that anxiety, fear is from the devil, and I command him to go from Judy right now in the name of Jesus. You go from her. She's not under the bondage of fear no more in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that she believes you over and above anything that Doug tells her, the devil tells her through Doug in Jesus' name. Amen. And that she's got a smile on her face because she knows her Father is not going to let her down in Jesus' name. She trusts him implicitly through all of these trials that you're putting her through. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Judy, you believe that?
Yes, I do. I do.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Be anxious for nothing, girl.
Right.
Okay.
Because God's in control. Doug's not in control. The devil ain't in control. It's God that's in control. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
And Lord, we pray for healing on those fiery darts that tried to cause harm to Judy and her heart in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Healing to her heart.
Just cast it down, Judy. Just cast it. That's a devil. You go from me in the name of Jesus. If Doug calls you back, just say, I cast it. And he starts that garbage again. Say, I bind you up, devil, and I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, do it, girl. That's the devil talking through him. It's not Doug.
Right.
Just do it and watch what happens. Glory to God.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Lord, we thank you for putting peace in Judy's heart. Thank you, Lord, for putting the peace of God through her in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep, amen, we do. Okay, how many of you know that she's got the victory? She's got the victory, thank you, Jesus. All right, go ahead. Yeah, Megan says she does too. She raised her hand.
I want to pray something,
okay,
Judy. In the name of Jesus, I just speak peace, joy, and comfort of the Holy Spirit into Judy's heart in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. Filling her up, Lord, with yourself, Lord, with your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Looks like Dave Nelson said he got his cards Monday, Judy.
What? Good.
Go ahead, Tim.
I just want to pray and thank the Lord for what he's doing. A lot of times when he's working in our family members and ourselves, we can't see it, can't see what's coming. We are blinded to his ways. And so I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here. We don't know what it is yet, but we do know that you work all things for the good of those who love you, and Judy loves you. And this might be a way of bringing Angie and Doug and Amy and all of her family around to you, Lord. You're going to do something mighty here. We believe that, and we thank you, and we praise you for doing that. Thank you again for everything you do in all of our families. We can't understand it, but we see it's happening, and in the end, it's all going to be for our benefit. And we thank you so much for the way you work, Lord, and the mysteries of your greatness. Thank you again. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was thinking about doing this, and then when some things that Tim said, it was like, okay, yeah, I need to do this. I just want to sing something to you, Judy. And I sang this one time. I was singing it to myself, and Michael goes, "What are you singing?" And this is what I was singing then, and I'm going to sing it again. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. That's our God, Judy.
Amen.
Walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good song. I like that song. Okay, anybody else? Well, we can go on because we know it's done, don't we? We know it is done deal. That devil's on the run again. He's trembling in his steps right now. Thank you, Lord. All right, let me go on with Demetrius Dudeman's revelation here. Wait a minute, that's not, is that, where did I stop? Since God's method? Okay, thank you, Pat. Since God's method of leading his children is not fear, whenever fear comes upon you, y'all listen, you need to make war against it immediately. You need to stop whatever you're doing and cast down the thoughts that the devil is putting in your mind. Cast down those pictures that the devil is putting in your mind and make war against that spirit, because otherwise he will conquer you. You may have all the knowledge that you need, but you won't be able to even hear it in the midst of this emotion of fear that has come upon you, so stop and make war. The devil can't stand before you if you use your sword. You don't necessarily have to quote the word of God to conquer the devil, but you do have to agree with the word of God to conquer the devil. You have to know what the Word of God says in order to speak in agreement with the Word of God. So if you're not sure about what the Scripture says, you need to spend more time in the Word. Amen. Anybody got any questions or comments on that? Okay. Let me go on with Demetrius Dudeman's revelation here. When we understood what the angel meant, we began to quote verses from the Bible. Then, suddenly, as if we were one voice, we began to sing a song. That's the thing about songs. They bring people into one accord. And there's a power in agreement. Jesus promised us in Matthew 18 and 19, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What happens when there are more than two or three of you in agreement? Deuteronomy 32 and 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had delivered them up? Wow. One will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. That's multiplied power. So it's a blessing for us to be in agreement with each other and with the Word of God. That's why God has given us His Word. And of course, it does no good if you're in agreement with a lot of apostates, because no matter how large a group they might be, you still have no power. The devil is going to show us this in Demetrius' revelation. He's going to conquer these people. The devil wants to make war, and he wants to take out the people who are a threat to him. Yes, he does. He'd like to take out their physical life, and he'd like to take out their spiritual life because they're doing him damage. Amen. And he'll make war on you, but he's not able to do anything that God doesn't permit him to do. You see, God permits the devil to come try us in order to build our faith. Faith is like a muscle. If your faith isn't tried, it's not going to get stronger. Remember that. If your faith is not tried, it's not going to get stronger. We go through things to try our faith. And in the process, we also learn how to quickly pull out our sword and use it to conquer the enemy. Praise God forevermore. You can't get no plainer than that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Any questions? Boy, this, how many of you think this is good stuff? Boy, I do. I think this is the time for this thing right here, this book. Glory to God. It's good stuff. I know Judy's getting built up in her faith too, aren't you, Judy? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, any questions or comments? Yeah, Pat.
I was just thinking, you know, we've read like two or three pages in this story, and watching the whole story go down, obviously still the ending is still coming, but I'm thinking back at what the devil said at the very beginning when he said, those of you who believe you can overcome me, go to the right, and those of you who fear me, go to the left. And it was right there at that point where the battle was won, or where the end of the battle was decided. Because when those people believed that they couldn't overcome the devil, they lost it right there. They lost the battle there, because by believing that one thing, it turned their back. It moved them. It automatically moved them in one direction of thinking and in and they were probably thinking of how we're going to, you know, fight this battle, how we're going to beat the devil, how, you know, how, what are we going to do, what's going to happen, this and that. They were all focused on that direction, and they were focused away from the answer. The people that believed that they could overcome, they didn't know exactly how they were going to, they didn't know exactly what battle was coming to them. They didn't know, they couldn't sit down and say, well, I know exactly what I'm going to do here and here and here, and I'm going to have this and I'm going to do this. They didn't know that either. But they didn't let that lack of knowledge turn them away from making that correct decision, or making that choice, or stepping in that direction. They were going to believe that anyway to start off. So it's exactly what David said when we started reading, is that people aren't destroyed by the curse, they're destroyed by what they believe. And the consequences of what they believe comes later, but it's where they believe is where the battle is won. I guess that's what I'm trying to think. It's, you know, there's still a battle to go, but you don't have the ability to win that battle, to fight that battle, if you don't believe it first. So that's,
well, it, to say it another way, who was the devil talking to? He wasn't talking to the bunch that he already had. He knew he had no. He was talking to that other bunch that was coming against him, and he knew it. And he had to get his, he had to try to get his licks in right quick. But the angel stepped in. I got my foot all tangled up in some wire. Devil, you better get out of here. All right. Yeah, praise God. Yes, sir.
Just wait.
There. You know, when you all talking about that, made me think of Moses when he said, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, they were standing in front of that big water river or whatever, and all the rest of them, they don't have a clue what's going to happen or anything, and they're thinking, oh man, we got to get over there, how are we going to do this, da, 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 da. But he says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. He doesn't even know how God's going to do it, but he's just saying God's going to do it. You know, so anyway, that made me think of that.
amen. Lord told him, he said, you got to do it, Moses. That's when he took authority then. Praise God. That's the authority we got to. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Tanya.
Okay, so I've had this question for a while, and I haven't really trusted anyone with it, but I think I can trust you guys with it. So there's two schools of thought. One is giving the right to the spirit of condemnation, and the other one, they call it being discerning or discerning the spirits. Now, like when I'm trying to like judge if I can trust someone and like where they are spiritually, is it just where my heart is at? Or like, how do I tell the difference between giving like the spirit of condemnation the right to attack me versus discerning what's going on? You know what I mean? Don't understand my question.
Well, yeah, I think I do. You're trying to figure out whether you're being critical or discerning?
Yeah.
Okay. Criticism is when you voice it. Discerning is when you don't, and pray.
That didn't really help.
Do what? Okay, well.
Well, like.
Let's go through it again.
Here. Okay, was I opening myself up to this spiritual, the critical spirit, and, you know, being attacked? Like, when that one pastor, like I wasn't having an issue with how he ran the church, but another lady brought it up and then told him that I brought it up. And so the pastor got back to me and he was like, well, do you have a problem with who I have assigned to be elders? And I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't have a problem with who you were having serve, but a single man can't be an elder because he doesn't have a family. And the other guy you have as an elder, I found out he started to try to court me, but he's still married and his wife has run off and doesn't know where she is. How neither of them measure up to the prerequisites clearly stated in the Bible for elders. So I don't know how you can call them elders. And the other one was a woman, a single woman. He was calling an elder. And I'm like, you can't be a husband and be a woman. So, I mean, okay, I didn't know if that was like opening me up to being a critical spirit. I didn't feel like I was being bossy. He asked my opinion, but then he was highly offended because he was like, but the Spirit of the Lord who has anointed me to this position told me these are the people I should put as elders in the church. And I'm like, you know, at home I'm thinking, it isn't the Spirit of the Lord if it's not speaking in agreement with the word. But am I being, should I not be judging someone else and how they are doing, you know, their church or whatever?
Well,
I don't want to be opening myself up to curses that wrong judgment that everyone keeps saying I do.
In an instance like that, Tanya, what would have, the Lord probably would have wanted you to do is, you know, just speak whatever you had on your mind in the word and then separate yourself from that bunch.
Yeah, I never went back there.
And then pray for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, that's probably what he wants you to do is just pray for them because they're in an apostate religion. Go ahead, Judy.
Tanya, I would just add to what Michael was saying is you didn't do anything wrong. Your conscience was right. You were agreeing with the word of God, but the accuser of the brethren is always going to accuse you to somebody else. He's going to accuse someone else to you. And he's always trying to get you to accept that accusation so he can condemn you. And it's a game he plays. So you don't accept the condemnation unless as I've been taught, condemnation only has one legal place, and that's if you're in willful sin and you know you're wrong, but in your if you're not fighting against the sin kind of thing. Otherwise, you don't accept that condemnation, and the enemy is very sneaky about how he does it. He's very sneaky, and he doesn't play fair. He's always accusing you to you. He's accusing everyone else to you. He's accusing you to everybody else. That's his job. Been there.
Amen.
Fighting against right now is jealousy. The other people in my building think that I must have way more income than them because of all the blessings, and it's making them very hateful and mean. And I'm like, I don't know how to deal with that because I've never been hated before on this level. It's so many people that are just
the thing that the enemy wants to do more than anything else is to put you into condemnation and unforgiveness. And if you get into that unforgiveness, that'll rob you of everything. So the best thing to do is just to pray for them and bless them, you know, and separate yourself from them. That's best I could give you. You know, that's what the Word of God says. Yeah, Missy, that Melissa's got me trying to call you both names at one time.
Does it say Melissa?
Yeah, it says Melissa.
Oh well, I don't know. All I knew is it just said had a big M there. Anyway, one thing that might be hindering you here, or a spirit that may be working on you, is rejection too.
Yeah. I fight with that. I don't reject people, but I feel rejected a lot.
Well, that's rejection. Yeah.
What do I do about that?
We just cast it out. We can cast it out.
Yeah.
That's a spirit. That's a spirit.
I just want to make sure that I'm not giving it a toehold anywhere.
Amen.
You know, you just got to realize, you know, kind of like the Lord said, you know, all these people hating you because you're blessed or whatever. Don't let it bother you. Feel blessed. I mean, bless those who persecute you. You know, pray for those who spitefully use you, and so on and so forth. You know, you're blessed. All who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, and it's a good thing. Consider it a blessing, because it teaches you to take up your cross and follow the Lord, deny yourself, turn the other cheek.
It was kind of a blessing if you're persecuted because of his name. So I didn't feel like, you know, it was because of his name that I was being persecuted.
Oh, yeah. His name means nature, character, and authority. That's what they're persecuting. They're persecuting the Christ in you, what they see of Christ in you.
Oh, I get it. His blessings. That's what they're persecuting me about. So that is Christ in me. I didn't put that together till just now.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. So,
it's just there's a lot of people in this building that wish they had a car. And here I sit with two cars. And I can explain to them how I ended up with two cars. But that doesn't seem to help.
Yeah.
It wasn't on purpose. It was totally on accident, actually. I was trying to sell one, and I felt I was supposed to work for Uber, and I needed a car 1 year newer than what I had, so I had to buy a different car, and then no one wants to buy my older vehicle for above scrap price, and I won't sell it for less than what a junkyard will give me, so I got two cars, and they both run good.
Actually, won't you give it to somebody?
Because every time I've tried, they refuse.
Okay, well.
I have tried a couple times. One lady was a single mom with a couple kids, and her car was broke down, and I tried to give it to her, and she just figured there was something wrong, was shady with it, that I wanted to give it away and would not take it. And I'm like, okay, I'll sell it to you then. She's like, I can't afford it right now. I'm like.
Well, go find somebody else, because she sounds like she's got problems.
Yeah, well, when I found out what happened to her other car, it basically blew up because she never changed the oil. I'm like, well, maybe she wasn't the right person if she can't take care of changing the oil.
There you go.
I mean, I'm trying to give away a 2003. You really have to still keep up the maintenance, or it'll just blow up.
Well, you do have to change your oil. That's the life of a car.
Right.
Amen.
Actually, pray for my 2014. That's my new car. Sensor went out, but now the whole car is acting wonky. Something about the stability traction control sensor. So I had to have it towed in on Friday into the shop, and they said they were gonna call me today with an estimate, but maybe tomorrow. Not crazy about that. There's just computer stuff on it.
Let's just pray for it. That's what we do here on our car. If that check engine light comes on, we pray and God fixes it.
Yeah, the light came on Jesus, too, but right? Sorry, go.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, we command that car to be healed of all sensor problems, anything to do with the computer. And the guy's going to call back and say, I don't know what happened, but it fixed itself. And Lord, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name, that it's not going to cost Tanya anything to fix it, except for maybe a hookup to a machine or something. I don't know ever how they do that up here in Wisconsin. But Lord, we thank you that you're going to keep this mechanic honest, and he's going to tell her that there's nothing wrong with that motor or that car. in Jesus' name. I believe it, Lord. We praise you for it, Father, that Tanya's car is fixed in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. We've got an open.
I don't own anything.
We've got an open heaven, and we don't have to worry about anything. Praise God forevermore. Just believe and do it in your faith.
I don't own anything anymore. I just take care of what I have. I'm taking care of God's stuff. I don't own anything.
Okay.
Praise God.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I just wanted to remind, I don't know, not remind you, but Tanya, did you want us to pray for you about the whole rejection, fear of rejection thing that we started talking about? Well, Missy, why don't you go ahead and pray, because I know that you saw it.
Thanks. I'm chomping at the bit.
I know you were.
Because the Lord was bringing some things to me. Oh, Lord, bring it back to me. I temporarily lost it. Help me, Lord. There was something I was going to say first. Lord, what was that?
Why don't you go ahead and get rid of that demon?
Well, in the name of Jesus, we just command this rejection to go from Tanya in the name of Jesus. Amen. And this is what it was. Tanya, you got to remember that it's not people. You're not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's the spirits in them that don't like you. And be joyful that they don't like you, because it's Jesus in you that they don't like you, that they hate you. And just love them. Heap coals of fire on their head, letting the Lord take vengeance. And just love them no matter what. And you just command that rejection to go from Tanya in the name of Jesus. And just, Lord, help her to remind her, take up her sword and cast down that rejection and fear rejection when it tries to rear its ugly head and come back in, and not let it come back in, and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ, and claim my God loves me, my Jesus died for me, and He'll never leave me nor forsake me, and so on and so forth, and just strengthen our Lord to take up her sword and fight. And we thank you, Lord, for delivering her from all the power of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We come against any kind of bitterness or unforgiveness, and it's got to go too. If there's any there, we command it to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a complete deliverance for Tanya. Thank you, Father, that there's nothing blocking her faith now. She's got great and bold faith to believe what your word says, all the promises. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to be a light.
Got another weird thing you can help me with. I got a call from a family friend. Well, that's why I walked away for a little bit. And it was really nice to hear from her. I haven't spoke to her since my grandma died last year, just a few days away from being 1 year now. And it was nice talking to her, and we were, you know, just chatting about our own lives, not gossiping about other people. And I shared a praise report with her, and she got dim and said she felt like she just, you know, turned into a pumpkin. She just felt completely exhausted and needed to get off the phone. And I've seen this happen with other, you know, good people I know, including my own parents, where suddenly they're just completely exhausted and they'll just slump over and fall asleep whenever I, like, give testimony to something wonderful that happened. I don't understand. What am I doing something to them, or what is happening?
Sounds like you're putting them to sleep.
I'm just saying, for like 45 minutes. You should have been exhausted.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes the enemy does that to get you in condemnation, probably. But don't worry about it. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to ask you a question, Tonda. Hey, have you been to the UBM website? Have you been able to listen to any of the teachings Davis got on there?
I did a long time ago, and then I got married for a while, and he kind of pulled me away from it, and I haven't listened to it in a long time. I was first introduced by a gentleman giving me the David Eales Sovereign God book, and I was reading it.
Okay.
I do like his, but I like a lot of David Eales Bible studies. I like listening to him teach. I wonder where did the sermons go? Those 4-hour sermons he used to do.
Well, they got 1 hour. They got 1 hour teachings there. Radio, 1 hour radio and TV programs, and that separates things by section. If you want to look at that on the website, you know where the website's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want you to go there and fill yourself up an MP3 player or download them or something and listen to. Start finding something that captures your attention. And
I don't know how to use an MP3 player.
Do you? You've got a computer though, or something, right?
Yeah.
You can still download them on your computer and listen to them in your at your convenience if you want.
I've listened to them before. I just was trying to take advantage of, you know, some things that I don't recognize. So I'm not sure if I should have been casting off a demon or praying with them or.
I'm just trying to help you, like when we're not together, this might help occupy some of that time, and it'll and also be filling you full of the word, because David gives you a lot of the word.
Yes.
And so, because we're not always together. We only got maybe 4 hours during the week here, and it might not be just enough time for everything. But when you're into the word all the time with David and listen to his teachings, it helps a lot. And it answers a lot of questions too. Not that it's always good to ask questions when you come on, but this way you're going to be getting constantly filled with the word and constantly getting good teaching too, you know? So I would just suggest take your time to go to the website and start filling yourself up again when you get an opportunity.
Yeah. I was just looking for other people locally to be able to meet with, but I haven't found it yet.
Yeah. That's why we have this outreach. Everybody you see here doesn't have anybody that they can relate these things to. But we all come together for that. Go ahead, Missy.
Tanya, I think I saw earlier you kind of halfway hold up a smartphone. You can download. You can use that as an MP3 player with. Different apps, you can download the Bible studies in that and listen. Do you do that kind of thing? Do you download anything into your phone?
That is another thing I'm in the middle of. This phone is almost dead. I tried to order a new one. It didn't work. I had to send it back, and I'm trying to figure out right now this whole smartphone world, and I think I need to change providers because I'm not paying $400 for a phone. So I'm trying to figure out what to do now because I try to be a good steward of my money. And I was on Boost Mobile, and then I would pay like $80 to $120 for a phone. And I started to not be able to get service. Like, they drop my call all the time, so I switched to Sprint. And now the phones are $400 and up, and I won't pay that. So
do you have a smartphone now?
My phone that I currently have is full.
Do you have a smartphone now?
Yes, but it's full. Like, I keep having to erase pictures to keep my phone working. So, no, I don't have any extra room.
I got you. Okay.
It's got a card in the side, but that's full too. So, I need a different phone. I just have to figure out how to do this without being able to go in a store and ask questions. You can't go in the store and ask questions.
What size card do you have in that, in your phone? You're talking about an SD card, right?
Yeah, I'd have to, like, get the piece out and open it and all that.
You can get them up to whatever you want now. They go way up there now.
It says my SD card isn't full, but I don't know why I can't move things to the SD card. Plus, I have, like, cloud backup for my photos. So once they back up on the cloud, then I can delete them off my phone, but still access them. I just need to figure out how to get a different phone, because this one's getting slow and old.
Yeah, okay.
It's like 3 years old and it's too slow. What they did is they filled it up with all these updates, and that filled up like all my memory. And I'm like, why'd you guys do that? You just basically crashed my phone with all these updates. So whatever.
Tanya.
Yes.
You can email your pictures. You can take your pictures and email them to yourself and download them onto your computer to save them.
They automatically back up on Google Drive.
Oh, okay.
But most of the phone's memory is full of updates from Sprint. And they said that my phone's too old.
And you said you can't use Boost. Why?
Because the it kept dropping my calls. It wouldn't. And so I switched. They said to go to Sprint, and then I'd get priority. So I switched over to Sprint with my phone that I had in hand, which they were fine with.
Well, Boost kind of works out of Sprint.
Yeah, I it's have supposed Boost. To be the same network, but they have some way that they prioritize the service. I don't get
okay. Okay, we're plumb out of time.
I have to figure it out.
Take it to Walmart. They'll fix it.
I won't go in Walmart.
Okay, Wendy. I can't help
you. You have to wear a mask.
Take it to the free.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful night tonight. Lord, you've taught us a lot of things tonight to just hold fast to the word and not allow the enemy to talk to us, not allow the enemy to tell us the things that would get us into fear or condemnation. And Father, we thank you for doing that. We praise you, Father, for being with us until we meet again Thursday night. And Lord, we ask for your grace to give us a good night's sleep. You promised that in Psalms 127:2. And I just expect it every night to get a good night's sleep. And I know everybody else here does too. And Father, we thank you for blessing everybody here with good, great, bold faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, y'all. Uh-oh, Malcolm's got his hand raised. What you got, Malcolm?
Y'all be blessed.
Y'all be blessed, too.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Right. Y'all be blessed. Love you.
Yeah.
Blessings to y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Michael, I was going to do technical support. This is a technical
good,
support
everybody.
Line, isn't it?
Faith in the Lord.
Yeah, I guess so, Malcolm.
Good spiritual support line.
Yeah.
See ya.
Good night, y'all.
Bless you. Like a slob.
Bless you.
Like a slob,
bro, Joe. See. Good night, Phil and Lana.
Like a slob, Malcolm.
See y'all.
Like a slob.
Good night, Doug and Paula.
So,
see y'all.
Like a slob.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Michael, I got myself an RF burn today.
You got a what?
I got myself an RF burn it's a burn, an RF burn.
Oh, you did? How'd you do that?
I was cranking up a radio, and I didn't have it grounded, but it was on a, I had it on an antenna tuner. You're supposed to ground that kind of situation.
Yeah.
So I was on the hot end of the wire, buddy.
How much did you get? How many watts do you get?
100 watts.
100 watts, okay. Well, now you are inducted into the 100 watt burner club. Amen.
All right.
So y'all, if y'all don't know what he's talking about amateur radio stuff.
It's talking about putting your finger in a pan of boiling water.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, Dirk and Paula. We'll see y'all. Good night, Theo and Lana. Good night, Joe.
Good night,
brother. Good night, Malcolm.
Good night.